you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say.
Thank you, Kelsey. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. First Sunday of a brand new year. What a blessing. We get a chance to reset. How many of you are cold? I was 36 degrees this morning. Let me put it into perspective for you, though. A friend of mine is in, he's in Thermopolis, Wyoming. Harvey Seidel, I've mentioned him a few times. Harvey wrote on his Facebook the other day that it was minus 23. So he'd be wearing t-shirts out here if he was here. And so, you know, it's kind of funny how cold is relative. Also, I saw a friend of mine, made a comment that I think he was in, where was he? Somewhere in Hawaii or something. And he said, it's really cold. We're wearing jackets. It was 68 degrees. And so, you know, welcome. We're glad you're here. This was our first Sunday. And this happens to be our 60th anniversary. And what a blessing, 60 years under God, January 9th, 1955, 60 years old our church is, and I'm not 60 years old, praise the Lord, but our church is, and so that is a blessing to be able to come to God's house, and for 60 years, God has blessed Calvary Baptist Church, and thank you for being here, being a part of that. As we begin this new year, I really want to help us to understand. Typically, we have what we call a theme, a yearly theme. And our theme for the year has, you know, always been something that we've kept kind of secret, and we reveal it and make kind of a special day out of it. We're not doing a theme this year. This is the first time in 22 years I've not done a yearly theme. I've not done, you know, we just, you know, we prayed about it and as a staff. And I just wanted to set aside the idea of a theme to focus on our mission statement for the year. I think sometimes we get too much information. Anyone ever get on information overload? Sometimes I think you know more than you need to know. And then you don't really know what you should know. And so what I've chosen to do is just kind of, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. Let's just kind of simplify things, not get too distracted with a whole bunch of other things, and focus on the thing that is really important. What is it that really makes us what God wants our church to be? I mean, if we're 60 years, and 60 years is a big thing. It's an anniversary year. And for 60 years, this church has been in existence. And with that in mind, I want us to focus on what is the mission of Calvary Baptist Church. What is it that God wants us to do? I mean, what is a church? What is it all about? And so that's what this year is going to be about. That's what we're going to focus on for the whole year. That's where we're going as a church. You know, the Federal Aviation Administration requires if you're going to go on a flight as a pilot, you have to, before you ever enter the cockpit, you create what's called a pre-flight requirements. You know, certain things you have to submit paperwork saying that, you know, where you're going and what the path you're going to be taking and all of those things that, you know, that are necessary, what time you expect to arrive, where your arrival time is, or, you know, where you're going to be arriving, and all those things, how important that is for them to have. They do that for safety purposes. You see, you can't just get in an airplane and fly around and say, well, just going to fly around, just kind of just do my own thing. You know, you have to have a reason. You have to have a purpose to get an airplane. You have to have a flight requirements in order for you to get in. And, you know, a lot of Christians are kind of like that. They don't understand, but I think sometimes Christians can be like those who would like to be able to just kind of hang around, you know. They really have no goals. They really have no aspirations to be any more than they are. All they're looking for is a little comfort, a little help, and a place called heaven. And so they really don't want too much more than that. You know, as long as they're happy, as long as they're content, and everything goes all right and God doesn't bother them too much, then they're kind of like that. That's kind of how they are. They just have no real goals. But I want to assure you that this year, my desire, as well as God's desire, is that our church not be just like that. I don't want us to just be kind of like stuck in a rut, if you would, or kind of stuck in our spots, you know, where we're, you know, okay, this is it. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. We're just kind of stuck here. You know, we're just, you know, this is where we are. And here's what I have found. There are two requirements if we are going to get out of this rut we're in, if we're going to get out of this non-growing pattern in our life. And I'm not saying everyone is like that. I'm just challenging those of us who, if we are to get out of that, what I'm saying is it requires two things. Number one, it requires a decision. A decision on your part. Do you want to move forward for God? Do you want to get real serious about the things of God? And number two, it involves action. There's an action you have to take. You have to decide, and then you have to engage or act on it. Just as the pilot would get inside the cockpit, he doesn't just kind of sit there with his pre-flight pattern and all of those things all outlined and all laid out and submitted to the Federal Aviation Administration, and then simply go nowhere. He has to engage the plane. And we have to engage our life. We have to decide that if this is what God wants for me, and God wants me to do something in 2015, and in the 60th year of our church, God's brought me here for this time, for such a time like this, that it's time for me to just kind of get out of where I am and forget about my past and forget about all those struggles I've had and all those difficulties I've had and all those challenges I've had and some of the hurts that I've had in the past and just decide, hey, we're going to go forward for God. And we're going to move forward for God. I can assure you, if you lived on this planet for very long, you're going to have somebody that's going to hurt you. You're going to have somebody that's going to disappoint you. You're going to have somebody that's somewhere along the way that they're just going to hurt you real bad, and you could use that as an excuse to never go beyond that. Or you can decide that, you know what, things like that occur, but yet we're going to move forward. We're going to go beyond that. We're going to get out of this kind of like this pattern of the victim mentality and decide that we're going to engage ourselves and serve God and do what God wants us to do. And so my challenge for you this new year is that you would take that very seriously. The Bible says that God wants us to grow. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." That means that we decide that we're going to grow and then we actively become a part of what God wants to do in our life. And we recognize that God, in His mercy and in His grace, will grow us according to His will. And since there's a decision on our part, then we have to decide what it is that God wants me to do. And it starts when we book the flight pattern, if you would. It starts the moment we receive Christ as Savior. It starts the moment that we make plans, that we recognize that we have to have God in our life. Yesterday, I preached a funeral at a group of people here, Brian Breaker, and one of the guys, a former member of our church, and actually, I guess, still retains membership. Anyway, he and his wife had passed away after 63 years. And I remember us sitting there in that service, and the people were coming up, and they were talking about different things about her. And one of the things I got up to tell them about was that what made her so special wasn't all the qualities that she had. It was the fact that she knew Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm going to tell you this, what really matters in your life is not all the things that you accomplish and all the great things you've done or tried to do in your life. What really matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you accepted Him? And I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about putting on, you know, maybe, you know, like turning a new leaf over or trying new New Year's resolutions or any of those kind of things. I'm talking about, have you personally trusted Christ? I'm speaking to some teenagers. What is your goal for this year? What do you want to accomplish? What is it that God would have you to do? And what are your plans for this new year? And then I think of young adults, as you plan out your career and you plan out your schooling and what you're going to be doing. What are your plans? What is it that God wants you to do? What is important in your life? In 2 Peter, would you take your Bibles and turn with me there? God shows us how this works. God shows us what He wants us to do. And God shows us how that we are not to let another year go by and just simply it be just another year that I just kind of click off on my calendar. But God shows us here a very clear and simple pathway, if you would. There's a pattern established here. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. Can I call your attention there with me, please? 2 Peter 1 and verse number 5. And notice what the Bible says. "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here I find that God has established for me a pattern. This pattern is a biblical pattern. This pattern is an important one. And what I want to talk about this morning is simply, number one, the principles, and then second of all, I want to look at the pathway. The principles are clear here. If I call your attention and you go back to verse number 9, you'll see the principle is outlined for me here in this passage. In verse number 5, it speaks of the fact that we are to add. That means that spiritual growth needs a personal effort on your part. That means there has to be a personal effort on your part. Something I've learned is that it requires for me, I have to decide, and then I have to engage myself in doing it. That means that for me, if it's morning time, is your devotional time, I have to get up early morning and have my devotions. That's an effort. That takes an effort. It's not easy. How many of you agree with me that just waking up and getting up early is real easy? How many agree with that, right? Most of us have to all admit, no, it's not the case. I mean, you know, you have to work at getting up, you know. Just kind of anything, when we look at it from an effort standpoint, it requires us to do something. We have to get up and do it. And see, we can talk all we want about our time with God, and we could talk about all the things that are important. But did you notice here in this passage, all of these things are growth principles. They are products that come through growth, and that comes as a byproduct of the effort we invest in. Here's my question. What are you going to invest this year? What are you going to invest your time in? For some people, they're so excited about the next movie coming out. Or they're so excited about the next toy coming out. Or they're so excited about the next sports season, whatever that would be. And certainly those things have their place, but here's what God is saying. We must understand that we have to be very serious about the effort that we invest in our spiritual lives. What are we doing with it? What about this life that you have? What are you going to do with what God has given to you? I mean, honestly, it's a decision we have to make. So the first principle is that spiritual growth, if it's going to happen in my life, it needs to have personal effort on my part. Secondly, that means that when I consider it, that spiritual growth needs a spiritual community. Notice in this passage, he puts right in the middle of it brotherly love. Did you see that? He mentions to the fact that for us, that godliness, add to godliness brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness charity. The idea then is that we need others for us to grow. We need others to help us to grow. We cannot grow as a Christian outside of a spiritual community. You cannot grow as a Christian outside of God's house. That's just the bottom line. You can't. You know, a person could say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I love God, I'm all sold out, but yet they never go to church, and they do not do anything to help another Christian. It's all about them. They really are blind. They cannot see afar off. They do not understand that in order for us to grow, we need a church family. Thank God for 60 years, Calvary Baptist Church has been a witness in this community, that there is a church family here. And though we have our warts and our wrinkles, and though we're imperfect, we are a church family here. And as a church family, that it's important for us to realize that a part of our mission, in understanding the principle of our mission, is that we are growing as God's people. We're to grow. If you are not stronger this year than you were last year, then somewhere along the way, either the desire, the effort on your part has stopped, and God is saying to you, hey, it's time to just kind of recharge. Just restart. You know, I'm not here throwing stones at our past. All I'm simply saying is, hey, we have a new year, a brand new Sunday of a new year. And God is saying to us that let's be serious about this idea of this spiritual community that we call a church family. Thank God for this church family. And so that's the second important principle we need to understand. There's another one here, that spiritual growth needs to have biblical fruit. Did you notice here in verse number 8, it says, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a part of spiritual growth. Fruitfulness should be an area in which we are growing. And you might say, well, what kind of spiritual fruit are you talking about? Are you talking about other people trusting Christ as Savior? Certainly that's in view. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just seeing other people saved. It involves these spiritual fruit that comes in your walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and all those. It involves those as well. In other words, spiritual fruitfulness will be seen in your life. How much are we like Jesus Christ? How much are we surrendered to Jesus Christ? What is He doing in our life? And when He speaks to me, how do I respond to Him? And am I under conviction when I sin? And what is God doing in my life? All of that is so important in our Christian life. And, you know, if we're not careful, we can kind of put those things aside and not think that's really important. Say, well, hey, at least I'm going to heaven. That's all matters. Well, yeah, it's great that you're going to heaven, but it's more to it. God says, add to your faith. You know, don't be content just to be going to heaven, but add to your faith, because there's that area of spiritual growth. And that's so important. So these are three principles that God shows us. The second thing I want to introduce you to is the pathway. Now, would you take your bulletins out, please? Please take out your bulletins. I want you to notice what we did to the bulletin this year. The bulletin this year is really targeting for us a pathway. I mean, in other words, if someone were to come to our church brand new, Maybe they're out here in the world and they're wandering and they make their way to the door of our church and they trust Christ as Savior, you know, and we're trying to help them to grow. And then they come and say, What is it, Pastor, you want us to do? How can we really grow? This is it. This is what I want you to see. The very first thing to notice on the front of the bulletin, as well as on the back, is the very first principle of glorifying God. We sat in staff meeting last fall, and we kind of hacked out, what does it mean to glorify God? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to glorify God? A lot of people, you know, they have a lot of ideas about what it means. When I talk about glorifying God, I'm speaking of the fact that He must increase, I must decrease. The idea in glorifying God is the fact that we illuminate God and we deflect the light off of us. Is that we magnify God and we minimize man. You see, the problem of it is, until we learn that personally, we cannot do that corporately as a church. We have to learn what God says about that in the Scriptures. My goal this year is to help us to understand that. My goal this year is that we as God's people will grab a hold of this truth. That for us, if the only thing we get this year in 2015 is the fact that we're to glorify God, then I think we've gotten a lot accomplished for the year. But what God is saying is that He wants us to glorify Him. Now, how do we do that? And where does that fit into our schedule? And where does that fit into the patterns of our life? Well, let me tell you this. Number one, I think the very first thing is it becomes a personal matter for you that you need to spend time with God. That spending time with God is critical. That, you know, we set aside a time, whether it's, you know, go off in the woods somewhere and open up your Bible, or whether you have a place maybe in your home where you would go down, maybe it's your corner in your den or living room area, or maybe a recreational area, or maybe it's up in your bedroom, you have this kind of this special recliner that you go over and you sit down and it's there. But whatever that is, wherever that is, that you personally glorify God in your own life. And what I mean by glorifying God is when you sit down, that you're sitting there saying, God, you're everything. I'm really nothing. God, thank you for my salvation. God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I want in my life everything that I do this year to bring glory to you. I do not want, if in some way or another something is ever given to me as a praise for something I did, as if it's me, Lord, please show me that it's not me, it's you. That's what it means. So there's a personal time that I spend, that I glorify God personally. But then there's the corporate time when we come together as a church family. That means we come together, we sing the songs, we engage in the service. You know, we're not back there half asleep, you know, don't sing the songs, you know, ignore the message and really just kind of walk out of here as if, you know, hey, I just made my conscience feel good, now I feel better. No, it's when we really get serious about the things of God. That's glorifying God. That whole idea is what it's about. That means that you know, we pay attention, that we understand that. And then, you know, with that in mind, as we glorify God, and we do that in the morning service, we do that in the evening services, and that's really what God wants us to understand, that it's important that we do that. But not only we glorify God, but secondly, if you notice here, that we grow together. Growing together involves classes. You know, if you were going to have a meal, you know, you have to eat your meals, you have to spread them out. You know, I can't say, okay, tonight I'm going to eat a meal, and that'll carry me the whole week. Now, I realize it probably wouldn't hurt me to go without eating for a week. I also realize the fact that if I did that, I'd probably be pretty hungry by the end of the week. And some Christians think that's how they get their spiritual food. They get it once a week on a Sunday morning, and that's it. They're starving all week long because they're eating the junk food of the world. And here's what God is saying. We really need one another. We need our classes. We need what we can come together. And on the back of the bulletin, we have a list of classes for you, and we have the opportunities for you, connection groups on Wednesday nights, and of course, we have Bible study here as well. But those connection groups, and you might say, well, you know, I don't know if I get a whole lot out of it. Well, maybe the reason why that you don't get so much out of it is because God is saying it's time for you to give something to it. Maybe the reason why is because maybe God has grown you to the place where instead of you're trying to go get something, that you decide you're going to give back. That maybe my contribution to help some other weaker Christian or younger Christian or new Christian, my contribution on those in those studies can really help them to grow. And by helping them to grow, guess what? We're growing. You see, those classes are critical. You know, we have classes here, and we set aside those classes, and we say, you know, this is an important part of our pathway of spiritual growth. It's through those classes that we learn more about, the church and the doctrines of the Bible and prayer and finances. We had a class on finances. I mean, all of that is all about growing you personally. It's helping you to be a better Christian, to be a better person, to get a handle on things. And this year, as we kick these things off, man, I want to encourage you, don't miss out on the opportunities. Don't let another day go by. Don't let something else go by. Look, there are things that all of us could do that could be very important, but don't miss out on the opportunities to grow in those areas. That's what we mean by growing together. And we have other things, but the opportunities we have. So here's what we see. We see that a person may come into the church, and they come to the Sunday morning service. They glorify God as they're glorifying God, and they're just so thankful that God is their Savior. And then that they came in because that Sunday morning, they did not come in like that's the first time they talked to God. They came in Sunday morning already prepared because personally they spent time with God, and they come in, they're so excited just to be in God's house. And then they stay for the classes, and they grow together, and they make that a part of their Christian growth and Christian experience. And then through that, then thirdly, it's giving back. Giving back. That's ministry involvement. You see, we give back, there's an obvious growth that comes with it. as we invest our time and our finances and all the other things, as we do that, then we are giving back. So here's my question. Are you willing to take the challenge? I mean, can Calvary Baptist Church say, look, when people come in, we say, look, here's where we are as a church. So what's Calvary Baptist Church all about? We're not all about entertainment. We're not all about making everybody feel good. We're all about helping people to grow. We want people to grow. What is your mission? The mission is glorify God, grow together, giving back. That's what it means. That we give back, that we take very seriously this idea of giving back. We get involved in ministry involvement. There's a whole list of opportunities there on the back of ways in which we can give back, that we can be a part of what God wants to do. Now, the principles and the pathway, I believe, is very clear. But what is the hub that pulls it all together? Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4 for just a moment, just as we wrap up this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, and I know this is more of a teaching message than an inspirational message, but hopefully it's a challenge to us. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible speaks of this very mission that we're talking about. And here's what it says in verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And notice, by the way, that means that we unite together and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. That idea perfect means that none of us are perfect, but mature. That we've grown to the place where we're not the immature, carnal Christian, but we've grown to a maturity under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love, may grow unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here's what God says. God says, I just want you to mature. The ministry of the church is the hub in which maturity comes. That's the way God designed it. God has given people gifts to help all of us. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed that song that Kelsey sang this morning. That was a blessing. I enjoyed the choir singing. I enjoyed the fact that there are people who are willing to greet people in the lobby. I enjoy the fact that we have a nursery where people can bring their children and where they can be cared for while people sit in the service and hear the Word of God. I'm thankful for teachers, people who are called to be teachers who can give back and teach and be involved in ministry and help other people to grow. All of that is a part of what the church is about. I mean, all of the things on the back there and giving back through the community outreach, all of that. God says we grow together. Now here's my question. Are you willing to grow with us? I mean, are you really willing to give and say, you know what, I'm just going to do all that God would have me to do? You might be here today saying, you know, boy, I think I am growing. Here's a good test. Here's a test. When was the last time that you were tempted with sin? And maybe you just, you know, kind of gave in, but you didn't feel guilty about that. You know, you just kind of like, okay, yeah. And then you just kind of call on John 3, 1:9, 1 John 1:9, where you go and say, you know, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then you just go and do it again. No guilt. No embarrassment. No conviction. No shame. Well, I tell you what, if that's where it is, there's something we need to take care of today. We need to settle it today. Because I'm going to tell you this, every time that I sin, I can't live with myself until I get with God. I've got to get right with God. I've got to be right with God. And folks, this 2015, this year, my challenge to you is just to decide that you want to serve God and live for God. The Bible says that, therefore, to him that doeth, to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God's spoken to us. I trust and pray that we'll decide that we'll grow together. If you're already doing that, praise the Lord, and I'm glad that you are, and I believe that many of you probably are. But maybe there's someone here. Maybe it's something in the past. Maybe it's something we're struggling with. God says, hey, let's just move ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as God begins to work in our lives, I believe we're going to see God do some pretty amazing things, things we've never seen happen before. I believe what will happen is that God will begin to change our life, but God will begin to change our church in a great way.